Mobilize, personalize, optimize, and monetize your marketing and engagement efforts. Welcome to Mobile Presence. From mobile marketing and messaging to mobile commerce and coupons, and from mobile apps and websites to mobile engagement and loyalty, our hosts bring on expert guests to give you the inside track on the trends, tools, and technologies that matter most. Mobile Presence, where making your brand or business mobile first is our first priority. Now here is your host, Peggy Ann Saltz.
Hello and welcome to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz from Mobile Groove. And of course, and as always, this is your destination for news, views, trends, everything you need to help you optimize and maximize your mobile presence, be that website, app, or other. And it's thrilling to be here because this is the top 25 demand gen podcasts you need to listen to, according to a recent list of podcasts. And using the chance to give this as a platform to some of the stories we haven't heard yet, because we've been focusing a lot on the practicalities of mobile marketing. Now I want to look at some of the mobile marketing winners and losers and some of those anecdotes, some of those exciting stories, and take a fresh look at mobile. So we're going to start by looking at one app that is absolutely crushing it, getting glowing reviews and growing installs, and also the entrepreneur behind it, because he's got quite a story as well. So our guest today is Brian David Kane, BDC. How cool can that be, right? A successful entrepreneur and the founder of ColorSmart, an award-winning iPhone app that we will be getting to later in the show. But Brian, BDC, I have to say, I'm really interested to know how it's possible, first of all, that you're doing all of this based out of Bali. So welcome to the show and tell me about your story.
Thank you, Peggy. Glad to be here. I owned a recycling company in college and sold it at the age of 24. Mm-hmm. Had a bunch of money, didn't know what to do with myself. Started on a trip around the world, found it to actually be quite unfulfilling. You and I were talking about this in the pre-call of the trip was called 25 at 25, 25 countries while I was 25.
So, and you made this up or what? Or this was like a dare or something? I mean, 25 yeah. countries at the age of 25. It sounds like something could be pretty pretty cool. It's like that ice, wasn't it, the ice water challenge? So tell yeah. me about it.
I think it was the goal to, I had a lot of friends. I was really involved in, the study abroad program and the international program and, university, and had spent a year in Argentina and had just a lot of friends all over the world and wanted to go visit them, see what they were about in their particular countries. And, I had a group of friends had also, you know, I think one had done, a trip and had kind of a branding element to it. And so the 25 of 25 came out of that. It was, but it was short lived. I got three countries into it and, I canceled the trip. I was in Eastern Europe and I decided it wasn't fulfilling. And I think the moral to the story was I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have anything that I was actually doing or working on. And I found it to just be, it created a lot of neuroses. So it was money going out, even though I had money, it was money going out without any coming in. And there wasn't really, like, I didn't really have a why to it. So, so I came back to the States and in the 2008 financial crisis, made a bunch of bad bets and actually gone bankrupt or gone belly up, and then took a job out in Silicon Valley, got mentored, coupled three really special people that I worked underneath that taught me how to do customer acquisition, how to do how to grow digital brands, and then took what I'd learned there and set up a digital marketing agency called Spread Great Ideas, made a series of investments through that agency that did very well, and then decided to go back and be nomadic again. And I think to answer your question about why I'm in Bali, it was, and why ColorSmart, it was a balance of, I wanted to build, like, take on a hard technical challenge, take on a project that was meaningful and that, required, like some dedicated ongoing effort, but I did not want to give up sort of the benefits of having, a lifestyle business, right? So I had lived, I've lived on four continents. I've lived in Hong Kong before, and I love Asia. I think Bali is a special island, and so I wanted to be based there, but we also needed a serious software team to be able to build CollarSmart. So I'm in Poland now, actually, as you and I talk, and that's because that's where our software team is. So mm-hmm. I happen to live abroad, and a couple other people in our team are remote, but the core engineers and are in Warsaw in Poland.
I mean, it's all possible. It's all connected. It's just, you know, get on Skype, do your Slack, what have you, and you can make it work, right?
Yeah, I think you can. I think there's also it's more challenging than that, because I think there's value in, for me personally, I found it, you need to go and be with the people on a regular basis. So like at mm-hmm. least once to twice a year, I come to Europe and just spend time here. Not just like a one day, like, you know, spend time working with them and talking through different things on the product roadmap. And because you just can't replace the face-to-face, you know, you can't replace that brain rub.
No, I'd agree with you on that one, because this is about an app, and an app is about an experience, and that's something that isn't just code. And you have a roadmap, which means that CollarSmart is not a one-off. You know, it's the real deal. It's evolving. Let's love to hear more about your life, seriously. But let's switch over to CollarSmart, because it sounds very interesting, particularly in view of all of the data breaches and all of the problems we've been hearing about recently. It just seems like, yeah, you know, I want control of who contacts me. You know, I want to be contacted on my terms. That sounds like would resonate. Yeah. What does it actually do, I guess? And are you getting a boost from this?
Yeah, we get what it actually does is we identify and then block. We identify phone numbers and assign a trust score to them, so we can tell you whether or not it's a number that you want to, like a phone call or a text that you want to reply to, and then we automatically block the calls and texts from the people that, according to our users, are the most, we'll call it scammy or nefarious. And so there's a crowdsourcing element to it that that brings in the game mechanics, which is something you talked about when it comes to the utility app. But it's a hard, like it's a hard data problem, and what I mean by that is, like, if you have the phone book is a entity is static, so how do you keep a huge data set up to date for a lot of different people who are changing that data on an ongoing basis? Like Wikipedia does this obviously with an encyclopedia. Waze did this when it came to maps and driving directions, and we've done something similar when it comes to the phone book, because you need user participation, and you also need to reward the users who are the power users, who are the ones who are making the most edits and providing the most helpful feedback and information. So, mm-hmm. So that's where the badges and the game elements and the prizes come from, because we give them prizes for making edits to the phone book, and as far as the data breaches go, or the news with Equifax. I'm a T-Mobile user. I was a victim of their data breach. We see spikes, not necessarily driven by data breaches, but what we see spikes in is driven by times of year. And what I mean by that is, like, if it's tax season, there's a tremendous amount of scam calls of people threatening for back taxes and some really nasty stuff as well around Christmas. There's an increase in scam calls, and scammers are getting better and better at this. They're figuring out who to target. And, for instance, when it comes to taxes, what they do is they target, recent immigrants to the States, because then they call them up and they leave a voicemail, or they get them on the phone and they say, this is the IRS, you owe back taxes, you need to wire the money this week to this bank account. And if you don't, we're going to send the agents to get you. Whoa. And if you're recently arrived in the States, you don't know that the IRS doesn't actually call you and threaten these things, right? So you turn over a lot of money, and so now they've figured out, okay, we're going to call for, you can do caller ID spoofing. There's a whole lot of technical stuff, like make the number look like, you know, it comes from a number mm-hmm. that you recognize. or you can just churn through the numbers very quickly and do it in an automated fashion. So from a psychological perspective, it's one of these challenges where people look at it and they go, yeah, that sounds horrible, but I'm not going to get scammed. I'm too smart for that. And then the number of people who get scammed, or the number of like the dollar amount that's lost in scams in the States is staggering. It's actually something, and people are embarrassed to admit it. And when I talk to folks about it, I'm constantly surprised at how many people are like, I got baited into this, or my aunt or uncle or grandparent lost money due to one of these things.
Well, it's fascinating because you're right. You know, this is an app with a purpose. I'm always excited about useful apps. And I can't wait to deep dive into more about your app and also more about you, how you made it possible that it has such, you know, stellar glowing reviews and downloads on a shoestring budget. So lots to get to in the next half. So listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors. There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S. Webmasterradio.fm reaches them all with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing. Email sales@webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now. Webmasterradio.fm is the destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Engage with our panel of on-air experts and peers by following us on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can listen to Webmasterradio.fm on air or on demand from our website or through iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get your podcasts. Interact and stay informed. Just search for Webmasterradio.fm.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Mobilizing your marketing and engagement efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz, with Mobile Groove, and of course, our guest today, BDC, Brian David Crane, successful entrepreneur and founder of Caller Smart. And BDC, Brian, before the break, we were talking about, you know, what Caller Smart does, and it really does answer a need, which is important for apps. They can't just all be fun. It's really helpful when they're a utility. On the other hand, utilities are really hard to sort of make people get excited about, to acquire users, to get them to interact. I mean, you have them crowdsourcing, you know, and giving this data to the community to make it a better experience for all. I mean, how did you manage that one?
There's a lot going on. I mean, we have an amazing team. So I this is not a one man show by any means, but we've been very fortunate to build and keep a really solid engineering team. And the idea for the app and the idea for the business really came out of my time in Silicon Valley. I saw a need for this, and I think it's a theme that I imagine if you dig into with a number of your guests is the phrase "make war with a multitude of counsel." And basically what that means for me is that this was an area when I was in the Valley, I was working in genealogy and people search, which is also big data, and had several years and a lot of contacts in the space prior to actually launching this business. So it wasn't just, I think I want to build this. Let's start from, you know, start from a standstill. It was, there was a lot of momentum already there given my past. And so I don't know if that's something that other folks talk about, but when it comes to user acquisition or it comes to, like how to on an ongoing basis, keep people coming in the door. Yes, we do. Yes, we've worked with Steve Young from App Masters for App Store optimization. That was super helpful.
Also been a guest on the show, by the way. I mean, he really is one to talk about how to do ASO and to get organics on a shoestring budget. Let's get to that in a moment. But the thing about getting people to give information and upkeep your app for you. I mean, you told me something about game mechanics. So how have you used that?
Yeah, we give people badges. Like there's a lot of things that we do. So we give people badges. We assign obviously a trust factor to their own number when they claim it in the phone book. And then we notify them if there's searches on their number or there's searches on numbers that they care about. So you can see, for instance, like if somebody's been looking up your number, or if there's been activity on it from other users, we reward them inside of the app when it comes to, if they leave a comment that other people find useful, they get more points. There's a competitive element to like a ranking system inside of the app. We use Keep. I don't know if I even say their name right, correctly.
K-I-I-P. I think it is. I think yeah. The reward company. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been. They were very successful for us. They've since trailed off. But that's definitely been a part of the game mechanics that we've incorporated. And what we find is, to be honest with you, is not everybody cares about the game mechanics. And as much as we try to get them, as much as we try to get everybody to be like, look at all these amazing, you know, game elements and the badges, and don't you care about your rank and care about, you know, accumulating more points? There's a certain subset of our users who just come in and just want to basically take data from us, right?
Yeah.
And we have a share with friends feature inside of the app that we will give them. One of our revenue channels is selling credits, and we'll give free credits if you share CallerSmart with your friends and they download the app. But to a large degree, we're like not as much. To be honest with you, as much as we have tried, I wish I was like, we did this one thing and it resulted in, you know, 5x growth. It's more just been iterative along the way. We started with game elements. We added those game elements when we saw they were popular with a subset. We marketed to the users who are the most, the most engaged, and we give them a lot of reasons to keep coming back.
So what exactly is the business model? I mean, how are you monetizing your audience? You know, whether or not they're givers or takers, it's still eyeballs. Yeah. What are you doing there?
Yeah, we've got three revenue sources inside the app. The main one is the sale of credits. So sometimes our data. There's something like 9 billion phone numbers in the U.S. alone, which is nuts when you think about how many numbers are active. So sometimes we don't have free data on every number, and we have some paid data sources that we can check into that cost us money and that we charge the users for. So there's credits there. We do number monitoring and some advanced call blocking. So, you know, if you're happy with our free call blocking and you want to make it more robust, that's an in-app subscription. And then we have some ads through AdMob in the app. That's the third route. But between our website and our app, we're at about 500,000 monthly active users.
Mm-hmm. So that's considerable. I mean, and then also glowing reviews. So I'll get to the other question, which is basically how you did it. And knowing Steve Young as well as we do, he's a frequent guest on the show, there's going to be some sort of interesting anecdote there, some sort of twist. You know, you acquire these users, shoestring budget, no paid ads, or maybe just a few.
No paid ads.
Okay, well, so there you go.
No paid ads outside of the App Store ads. Sorry.
Okay,
Yeah.
Okay, so outside the App Store. And you're acquiring users.
Yeah. Our user acquisition is, we've got it pretty dialed in. Steve helped a lot. One strategy I think your listeners will find interesting. Not only was it ASO inside of the App Store for generic terms, but he also turned us on to doing content marketing so that we were building backlinks at our iTunes listing, and so that the iTunes listing would rank for the same terms that we were trying to optimize for when it came to ASO. So for instance, like iPhone caller ID is an important one for us. We acquire users through the App Store who are looking for stuff like caller ID, but also we acquire users through Google and Bing and Yahoo who search that, and we get our iTunes listing to rank. And I know that part of your business is content marketing.
It's going to absolutely work.
Yeah, it works. And I think we've been conscious when we do content marketing and we put stuff on third party sites. Like I've written for, I don't know, Forbes and Inc. and some other places where when we do that, the backlink and the content that we put up there is designed to improve that organic channel of acquisition for us.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you're going to have one here, right? You're going to get a backlink from Mobile Presence. There you go. But that wasn't the only reason you came on the show, right? I mean, it's interesting that, you know, content marketing plays such a role there. It seems to be saying to me that if you want to sort of get more bang for the buck in ASO, it's really about thinking out of the box in this way. And it's not just, hey, keywords and getting all the basics right in that growth stack of ASO, that more traditional one. But content marketing, I mean, is that going to be where you're going to place a lot of emphasis going forward? Or what aspect of ASO is working best for you?
Yeah, content marketing has been a less competitive channel. So ASO, what we experienced was when we worked with Steve, we got our listing. It was really dialed in. We were very, very happy with our organic user acquisition through the App Store. And then when iOS 10 launched last year and Apple introduced search ads, we all of a sudden had to start paying for the keywords that we were getting for free previously, right? And so it wasn't as if the pie got any bigger. It was like kind of the pie or the number of queries stayed the same. Instead of us getting them for free now, we just had to pay for them. So instead of CallerSmart making money, now Apple was making more money. And so we shifted strategy a bit to focus more on content marketing and focus on two kind of subsets of content marketing, doing written stuff. And then also part of the reason for me to do podcasts is, like you were talking about, is do backlink building.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. Smart strategy. And I want to hear more about this because it's obviously, you know, working for you and having had that hero's journey of ups and downs in your life, you know, it's interesting to hear what's working. And we'll have more of that, listeners. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorgedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorgedigital.com.
Book lovers and hundreds of compelling contemporary authors are heading to Miami for the 34th annual Miami Book Fair, Friday, November 17th through Sunday, November 19th. See in person amazing authors, including Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Al Franken, Russell Banks, Michael Eric Dyson, Armistead Maupin, Angela J. Davis, Scott Turow, Walter Isaacson, and many more. The 34th annual Miami Book Fair. For more information, visit miamibookfair.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Mobilizing your marketing and engagement efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence, only on webmasterradio.fm.
And we are back. Welcome back to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz, with Mobile Groove, and our guest today, Brian David Crane, BDC, successful entrepreneur and founder of Caller Smart. And BDC, right before the break, you know, we were talking about how you managed to get these users. Now I'd like to switch to how you manage to get them involved. I mean, they're giving you great reviews. They're giving you, you know, they're sharing your app because you have that type of feature. You know, they're recommending it. Maybe not all of them, but, you know, you do have them motivated. How did you figure that one out?
Yeah, we looked at, we really focused on the users who were having an initial good experience with us. So, for instance, a lot of the times that people were downloading, they would download the app, they had a particular number that was calling them, or they had a particular number that a spouse or somebody that they were dating was interacting with and they wanted to investigate. And if we found that if we were not able to give them a successful free result with that first search, that no matter what we were doing with user user engagement, it wasn't going to really work. It was like they had a need. So they had a need. If we weren't able to satisfy it, they got super frustrated and tended to go elsewhere. But if they, if we were able to help them with that first search, then we would put them onto a path of like, here's some extra features in the app. Here's how you can contribute and get stuff for free. Here's some of the prizes that you can get. And so it was, we really tailored inside of the app a series of funnels around like, is this person having a good experience initially with the app? And if so, then we're going to move them into explaining more about it and also asking them for a review as they had a good experience. And if they weren't having a good experience, if they didn't find what they were looking for initially, then you can bet your bottom dollar we were not going to ask them for a review because they were already going to not leave us a glowing one in the app store. So we started to segment.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that sounds always so simple, but it's really, really not simple at all because you're segmenting people who know. So, yeah. You know, demographics, you're not going to go there with that. It's not going to work. I mean, just curious if you could lift the lid a little bit on how you segment according to engagement in order to re-engage.
Yeah, we looked at, we use AppBoy in the, we use AppBoy as far as one of our tools go, but, from a demographic standpoint, the majority of our users are actually women, and they are, I didn't talk about this earlier, but the one side of the business for us is scams. And the other one is, online dating or dating in general. And for women wanting to know more about the man, let's assume that they're, straight, who's contacting them. And and learn more about who's behind the number. So, so for us, it's like if we look at it and we go, okay, we know the demographic, like we know like the gender of the user, we know their age, if they're logging in with Facebook, then we tend to like we target our messaging based on that sort of stuff. But all of those funnels and all of that customization, it was built out inside of AppBoy. It's one of the reasons that it's so hard to move platforms when you've when you've wedded yourself to one of these app marketing tools. And but we were in, I don't know if I'm answering your question the way that you would like, but that we got deep into like what is the user intent here, and given that, is this like a 22-year-old girl who's in college, or is this somebody who's in their 60s and is likely getting a scam call talking about tech repair and that they'd need to get a warranty on their computer, right? So when we started to ascertain some of that, we would build very specific UI and UX engagement tools.
Well, it answers my question because it says exactly that. You know, you have to look at sort of these app marketing platforms, and of course, AppBoy also, now Braze, also been a guest here as well, and they'll probably come back as Braze for us as well. You know, the whole idea is this consumer customer life management. So that makes an awful lot of sense. And it's interesting to hear about the utility around dating. That's something that you're absolutely right. You really want to know that those numbers are the real deal, that those people are serious, and or even to before you even consider engaging, is it the real deal, or is this potentially a spammer or a stalker or what have you?
It's a serious safety issue for women, especially when it comes to online dating, because you have the capacity to just totally misrepresent yourself, right? I'm Steve. I use a totally different number because you can do burner numbers and this sort of stuff. And if this person is asking you, who you've never met, to meet them one-on-one, tends to be in a place that you don't know. Mm. And there's a lot of, in the UK, they've really focused on it. It hasn't been so much in the States of dating app crime. And it's a serious issue for women. I think that, like, it's a serious issue across the board, but in particular for women, is that they just, in my opinion, the more that they know about who they're getting ready to go meet up with, and if they actually are the person that they say they are, the more empowered that they are, like, the better that, I just think that, they're safer, effectively. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, I'm interested. I'm going to check this out. I mean, I am married, so it's not going to be like a Tinder time for me. But I will say that it is interesting to be able to check out these scams, because they're coming through full force. I'm based here in Europe, where you are now at the moment, and we didn't have it before, but we've got a lot of these text messages that are just, we have this for you, you've won this, you've done this, and you're thinking, oh, I know that happens in online, but heck no, not on a mobile phone. Well, everything is different now. So lots of reasons to bring you back, maybe to talk about one of the iterations on your app or what you're doing to be so successful in user acquisition. But in the meantime, BDC, how do our listeners stay in touch with you? They've been listening in. They say, hey, this is cool. I want to find out more about your app or more about your life story, because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you. The app and the website is CallerSmart, CallerSmart.com. I'm on, you can email me, Brian at CallerSmart.com. I'm on Twitter underneath my full name. And the reason for that is, as a very small story, as a side note, is that in the South, when I was growing up, people always misspelled my name. They'd spell it Brain Crane instead of Brian. Got so tiring. Like, I started to use my full name, and then it got shortened to an abbreviation. And anyway, so I'm on Twitter, Brian David Crane, and the company's on Twitter as well, CallerSmart.
I will certainly follow you there. Brian, BDC, great to have you on the show. And that, my friends, is a wrap. Until next time, you can check out this and all earlier episodes of our show by going to webmasterradio.fm, or you can find our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. And if you want to keep up with me throughout the week or find out more about how you can be a guest or a sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me, peggy@mobilegroove.com. Mobile Groove is also where you can find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. I said that's a wrap, and tune in next time. And in the meantime, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.